Reading this morning from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, chapter 12, which is entitled Expansions of Advaitacharya and Gadadhar Pandit, text number 43 to 45, and on the board is text number 45. So I'll first read 43, 44, and then we'll go to 45. After pacifying Kamalakanta Vishwas in this way, Sri Advaitacharya went to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Advaitacharya told Lord Chaitanya, "I cannot understand your transcendental pastimes. You have shown more favor to Kamalakant than you generally show to me." We'll now recite text 45. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: the favor you have shown Kamalakant is so great that even to me you have never shown such favor. What offense have I committed at your lotus feet so as not to be shown such favor? Purport. This is a reference to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's former punishment of Advaita Acharya. When Advaita Acharya Prabhu was reading Yoga Vashishtha, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bet him, but he never told him not to come in his presence. But Kamalakanta was punished with the order never to come into the Lord's presence. Therefore, Sri Advaitacharya Prabhu wanted to impress upon Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he had shown more favor to Kamalakanta Vishwas because he had prohibited Kamalakanta from seeing him, whereas he had not done so to Advaitacharya. Therefore, the favor shown Kamalakanta Vishwas was greater than that shown Advaitacharya. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamaihyam Dadati svapadantikam mukam karoti vachalam panghum langhayate girim yatkripatamaham vande shri gurum dinatarnam shri chaitanya ishwaram paramanandamadhavam Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Ram Ram Hare 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 Krishna. I seek the blessings of all the devotees and proper disciples present here to discuss these particular verses from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. We are continuing to read the story of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu not being very pleased with Kamalakanta Vishwas, and thereafter, after the plea of Advaitacharya and the appeal of Advaitacharya, once again calling Kamalakanta Vishwas in his association. And in these particular verses, we read how Advaitacharya is talking to Kamalakanta Vishwas and saying that you are so fortunate that the Lord has completely kind of abandoned you and doesn't even allow you in His presence. You are so fortunate because the Lord has accepted you as a very close, intimate associate of His own. Whereas to me, when I spoke this Yoga Vashishtha, He chastised me, but He didn't forbid me from coming in His presence. So the intimacy that of the chastisement that you got and the intimacy of the chastisement that I got is different. Because when someone beats, says it's chastisement, but when someone takes a privilege, say, okay, you go, now I don't talk to you. That's even further intimate according to what Advaitacharya is speaking here. Of course, in most of our dealings, we don't take it as so intimate when we are forbidden. But here in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is seen to be very intimate. And it seems that as we read through the pages of Chaitanya Charitamrita, one thing that stands out as the foremost motive, as the foremost emotion, as the foremost underlying current of this literature, is that everyone wants to be a servant. Here Advaitacharya wants to be a servant. Kamalakant Vishwas wants to be a servant. Gadadhar Prabhu wants to be a servant. Nityananda Prabhu wants to be a servant. The six Goswamis want to be servants. Swarup Damodar Goswami wants to be servant. Ramananda Rai wants to be servant. Vishnu Priya Devi wants to be servant. Shikhi Mahiti wants to be servant. And Lord Chaitanya himself wants to be servant. So if we just carefully observe every pastime, every verse, every purport that Prabhupada wrote to this literature, just Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and this one thing that stands out as the highlighting feature of this book, and that is, how can I become a servant? And in this world, it's completely the opposite. In Vaishnava literatures, we see how we want to be the das. And in the world outside, everyone thinks how to be the boss. It's completely the opposite. And when we talk about being the boss, we talk about being the Ishwara or being the controller. Boss means controller mentality. Whether it's a married relationship, either the man wants to be the controller or the woman wants to be the controller. Therefore, they say a marriage relationship is like a deck of cards. It begins with hearts and diamonds and then ends with clubs and spades. Because one or the other wants to be the controller. Whenever there is controllership and no servitude in a relationship, there has to be conflict. You know, there has to be conflict. Therefore, sometimes they say, what is a successful marriage? A successful marriage means he does what she says and she does what she says. Or conversely, she does what he says and he does what he says. One or the other plays the role of the controller, or both play the role of the controller, and there's only going to be conflict. Relationships thrive, relationships go deep, relationships become profound when there is the mentality of servitude. As soon as the attitude of servitude lacks and the attitude of boss or controllership or Ishwarata comes in, wherever there is Ishwara Bhav, there has to be conflict. Kshatriyas have Ishwara Bhav, therefore they have to fight. All Kshatriyas have Ishwara Bhav. So without fighting, if they don't fight on the battlefield, they'll fight with their families, their wives. They'll fight with their fathers and mothers. That's the mode of passion. So Ishwara Bhav means conflict. Boss Bhav means conflict. And Das Bhav means harmony, cooperation, servitude. And even in religion sometimes, how people can control. One young boy, 6-year-old boy, he had gone to a Shiva temple and been constantly praying to Lord Shiva to get something, get a bike or something. And Lord Shiva had not given him a bike. He had not got a bike yet. So the temple was Lord Shiva, Parvati and their son Ganesh, three deities. So this guy stole the deity of Ganesh from the temple and then wrote a note to Lord Shiva and sent it across. Said, look, I've kidnapped your son Ganesh. He's under my custody. Better you give me the bike, otherwise look what I do to your son. Krishna. You can imagine the Ishwara Bhav of wanting to control and get what I want out of it is so strong, whether it's a family relationship, whether it's a devotee relationship, whether it's a corporate relationship, or whether it's any relationship in the world, unless one is conscious to cultivate Das Bhav, there is going to be Boss Bhav, where we are going to control and want what we want and only end up in unpleasant, nasty conflicts.
We see it all over the world. We see it all over the society. Everywhere, every nation, every community, every place, we just see this happen all the time for the simple principle of paucity, of cultivating servitude. And thus, Kaviraj Goswami very clearly explains, Ekala Ishwara Krishna Arasaba Bhritya Jare Jache Nacha Ese Taiche Kare Nritya. There's no more Ishwaras. Ekala Ishwara Krishna. There's only one person who can have Ishwar Bhav. Ishwar. No other person can have Ishwar Bhav. Only one personality can have Ishwar Bhav. The position of being a controller, the supreme controller. Ekala Ishwara Krishna, the only one. One and the only one. Krishna. Ekala Ishwara Krishna. Arasaba Bhritya. And everyone else is a Bhritya, a servant. Not meant to have Ishwara Bhav. Meant to have Das Bhav, servant relationship, a mood of a servant. Jare jache na chaye, se taiche kare nritya. And the way Krishna makes everyone dance, everyone has to dance. Either willingly dance, Srila Prabhupada said, or forcibly dance. Willingly dance, we become a beautiful puppet and everyone adores the show. Forcibly dance, Krishna's trying to control, the puppet's pulling, trying to pull the string, and there's resistance to move the arm, and everyone's watching the fiasco. Everyone's watching the fiasco in the puppet show. In the puppet show, when everyone dances to the will of Krishna and the puppets move in a very malleable way, the show is very pleasing to watch. And in the puppet show, if the puppeteer is moving the strings but there is resistance from the puppet, no movement, Krishna... Everyone's thinking, what's happening? Why is this guy not dancing? He's meant to be dancing, right? And thus, we find, whatever the relationship might be, whatever the role might be, the underlying current is only one, Bhrityata, Dasatva, servitude. And we find, in Krishna's pastimes, Chitrak and Raktak playing the roles of a servant, Dasya. And it's very obvious they are servants. And then we find Sridhama, Sudama, Stoka Krishna, Madhu Mangal playing pranks with Krishna. They're telling Krishna, you open your mouth, Krishna. You please close your eyes first. And they close the eyes and say, open your mouth. Ah, and they put grass in his mouth. Imagine you bring grass to offer to Radha Gokulananda. Pujari takes grass on the plate and says, Krishna, here's grass for you. Close your eyes. I'm offering grass to you with the mantra, Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha. Imagine that. Grass pizza for you today, Krishna. Here this cowherd boys are telling Krishna, close your eyes, open the mouth. They're putting grass in the mouth of Krishna. But even in playing that prank, in that role, the underlying principle is only one thing. Service to Krishna. How will Krishna be pleased with this prank? And then there's Yashoda, Nanda, Vasudev and Devaki playing the roles of a parent. And chastising Krishna. Sometimes chastising Krishna, sometimes correcting Krishna. And in the underlying current, even in that role as a mother and a father, Vatsalya is servitude, how to please Krishna. And then we have the gopis of Vrindavan and the Mahishis of Dwarka, the queens of Krishna. And they're having all kinds of conjugal affairs. Radharani is angry with Krishna, Mana Leela. Sometimes there's a fight between Srimati Radharani and Chandravali, and Krishna is relishing all of this pastime. They are fights, they're everything. Whatever you do, even in Madhurya, as a conjugal affair, is simply by, with one motive, how to serve Krishna. Therefore, Kaviraj Goswami says, Pita Mata Guru Sakha Bhave Kene Nai Pita. Whether someone plays the role of a father to Krishna, Mata. Someone plays the role of a mother to Krishna. Guru, someone plays the role of a teacher to Krishna. Sakha, someone plays the role of a friend to Krishna. Pita Mata Guru Sakha Bhave Kene Nai Krishna Premer Swabhave Dasya Bhav Se Karai. There's only one Bhav, Dasya Bhav. Father, Dasya Bhav. Mother, Dasya Bhav. Guru, Dasya Bhav. Sakha, Dasya Bhav. In Krishna's pastimes, in Mahaprabhu's pastimes, in Ram's pastimes, whatever roles this devotees play, And whatever they do externally, there's only one internal attitude. The attitude of servitude.
Shri Gaur Nitai ki, Jai. Shri Radha Gokulanand ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Jai.
And thus when Advaitacharya is chastised, he's ecstatic. He's ecstatic when he's chastised. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes and beats him down on his chest, he's ecstatic. I'm not sure if I can be ecstatic. One of our brahmachari once slapped another brahmachari in Chopati. Krishna, this is years back. He was so wild, in some interaction he came and pat slapped him. And this other brahmachari definitely didn't take it as mercy. He didn't say, oh, Chaitanya Radasamui Tardasir Das. He didn't say, oh, I'm the servant of this Prabhu. Prabhu Radasami, Prabhu Radas, Prabhu Radasami Tar, Prabhu Radas. He didn't say that. He came to ask the management, look at this brahmachari. He's slapping me. Krishna, it took us 6 months to resolve that issue. Because whenever we would ask this one man, he would say, I didn't slap. When you say, I slap, sometimes you don't know how to find out what the truth is. Then we had to take both in front of the deities and said, now you're offending in front of the deities. Now say, tell me, did you slap? He said, yes. He slapped me. Then we turned towards the other guy, did you slap? All the time he was saying no, and in front of the deities he said yes. He did. They're the best of friends still. What happens? Sometimes we should never, happens meaning doesn't mean it's endorsement to it. But sometimes in a fit of anger someone ends up doing that. No one considers that mercy. No one considers I'm a servant. Oh Prabhu, you have accepted me as an intimate servant that you're hitting me today. You have accepted me as an intimate servant that you're rejecting me today. Who thinks like that? You know? But here is Advaitacharya. Chaitanya Radas Mui, Chaitanya Radas, Chaitanya Radas Mui, Taradasir Das. I am a servant of Chaitanya. And 3 times he's singing. I am a servant of Sri Chaitanya. And I am a servant of Sri Chaitanya. And Kaviraj Goswami explains, Mahavishnu is saying this. God is saying I am a servant. The devotees I am saying servant. Incarnations are saying I am a servant. Everyone is saying, I am a servant to Krishna who has come as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And how can we deny that we are servants? Therefore, if God wants to be a servant, how can anyone want to be a god and play the role of a controller? To want to be the controller means to want to play the role of Ishvara, to want to play the role of God. How can anyone compete with God by trying to play the role of a controller? One time I read on the t-shirt, it was written, you know, I was an atheist until I realized I was God. He said, I was an atheist until I realized I was God. But there's so many people around, they think that I am God, and they want to control the whole universe, although they just can't even control the natural urges that they have in their personal life. And thus, whether it's Krishna Leela, whether it's Gaur Leela, or it's Ram Leela, the only one thing that we find in any relationship at all is the mood of servant, being a servant. And as soon as that mood lacks, we see what a turmoil it creates in a relationship and in the community of devotees that we live in. This morning I would like to, since we are celebrating Ram Navami still, I would like to bring up from the Valmiki Ramayana 4 classic case studies of one relationship. We have Shanta, we have Dasya, we have Sakya, we have Vatsalya and Madhurya. Today, in this morning's discussion, I'd like to bring up the quality of friendship and see how when the motive behind the friendship changes, what a disaster is brought about. And therefore we will see 4 cases of friendships from the Valmiki Ramayana. And the first case study I want to discuss is the friendship between Ravan and Bali, the monkey king Bali. Lanka Naresh Dashagriva Dashanana Lanka Dhish Lanka Pati Ravana and Kishkinda Naresh Kapishreshtha Kapivara Wali.
Lanka. The scene is Lanka. The occasion is that of a jubilant, pompous celebration. All the kings, all the emperors, all the administrators from all over the planet have been invited and have gathered for this massive, jubilant, pompous party. And why not? And why not such a party? Because after all, there has been victory. Why not would a father celebrate the victory of a son? Why wouldn't a father be jubilant and call everyone and pronounce and proclaim to everyone how the son has been such a victorious, meritorious guy? The son of Dashanan Ravana, whose name was Meghanad, when he would roar, his nada was like the rumbling of clouds. That's why he had gotten the name Meghanad. Meghanad had conquered over Indra, the king of heavens. And because of having conquered Indra, he had also been given the title Indrajit. Who was Indrajit? Even the demigods couldn't have conquered Indra easily. And here was the son of a Brahmana, apparent Brahmana, quote-unquote Brahmana. Ravana, Meghanad, had controlled Indra and become Indrajit now. That was a celebration. Everyone was drinking. Pompous, sensual indulgences was anyways the underlying principle of Lanka. And today, this indulgences had reached its zenith. Everyone was just enjoying, completely drunk and intoxicated. It was at that time, to add some salt to the sweet rice of celebration, Narad Muni arrived there. And Narad Muni came and went up to the party and said something that had completely spoiled the mood of the party. He had said that all these pompous ceremonies are no good because there's someone in the world whom even Ravana cannot defeat. This guy is so powerful, so extremely powerful, that even Ravana cannot defeat. What are you talking about, Indrajit winning and all of that? There's one man who Lanka can't still conquer. Ravana said, wait, no speaking in public. Let's go in a private place. Discuss in private. These kind of things should not be brought in public, lest my citizens think that I'm any less than anyone else. My position and my image in the eyes of my citizens should not be minimized and demeaned. Come in a corner. Let's talk. Narad Muni took Ravana in a corner. And he said, look, you may be very powerful. You may be very proud that you're the controller of universal controllers like Indra because your son defeated him. But mind you, Wali is so powerful. I have seen Wali. And this man, he has such a horrible opinion about you. He thinks you're a fig in his presence. A fig which he can pick up and put in his mouth and eat. And he doesn't just think like that. He speaks about it to people. All these rumors about you, Ravana, are going around the planet. And everyone's hearing this one line that Ravan's a fig. And Wali, this monkey king, can pick up Ravan like a fig and pop him into his mouth and chew him and munch him and digest him. Ravan was a little... His pride was crushed. He said. And then he said, look, this rumor is not just going around all over, but even in the party as I was walking in, some of your own people were talking and whispering into each other's ears. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Our King Ravana is scared of Kishkindha Naresh Bali. Ravana, I think you have, unless you oppose him and fight him, what is the use of this celebration? But I must warn you before you go to Kishkindha. One essential warning. Wali has a boon from his father Indra. That whomsoever he glances upon, half of his power will come into his persona. How beautiful, isn't it? That would be if we get that boon. If half of someone's chanting would come to us. We just go to two devotees and glance on them, 16 rounds done. We wouldn't have to chant 16 rounds. Anyone who chants 16 rounds, go and see him. Eight come to him. Then go to a second devotee, see him. Eight rounds come to him. No need to chant 16 rounds. Devotees like all these shortcuts.
How beautiful that you study all the literatures and you go and sit in front of him and half of his knowledge comes to you. He does all the gymming. He builds all the body. And then you go and glance on him and half of his muscles come to you. What a boon, Krishna. So, Vali, he decided, okay, now I know what it is. Vali went to Kishkindha. By the time he had reached the mountains of Kishkindha, he was seething. He wanted to crush the brains of the stupid monkey who had dared challenge Lanka Naresh. He came to the gates of his palace and started shouting, "You, Vali! You idiot! You scared of me? You're sitting inside this your palace. Just come out, man! Come out and give me a fight!" No response. Kept shouting. He was tired shouting abuses. And finally a frail, skinny monkey came out and said, "I am the brother of Vali, Sugriva. And my brother Vali has gone to chant his Gayatri mantra on the southern ocean. So if you like to see him, wait till he comes. Or if you want to die, go right away and destroy him." Ravan was so enraged, he said, "Let me first deal with this guy, the main guy, and this is like a skinny fellow, we'll deal with him later." So he went to the southern ocean, and Vali was sitting in a Padmasana, lotus posture, chanting his Gayatri mantra, eyes completely closed. As he saw the humongous body of Vali, he realized, this guy is a tough fight. He was huge. Vali was huge. Even Ravan was scared seeing Vali. And then he immediately remembered what Narad Muni had said. If I go in front of him and do something, and he glances on me, half of my powers will go to him. So he said, "This monkey is chanting Gayatri. His tail, his long tail is there behind. I'll just pull him by the tail." That's why he had gotten the name Vali, because Vali means a long tail. A long tail. He said, "If I just grab him by the tail and start spinning him really fast, by the pressure of spinning him, by the pressure of the centrifugal force, he will die and then I'll smash him to the ground and all his bones will be crushed to powder." And so he thought. And as he went to pull the tail of Vali, just as he held the tail, the tail started coiling up on Ravan's arms. And Vali hadn't even opened his eyes yet. He's like still meditating, chanting his Gayatri mantras. And soon the whole tail had coiled up Ravan's entire body. All that was left was his face. And it had coiled him up so tight that his bones were practically being crushed by the tail. And Ravan was trying to use his muscles, muscular shoulders to take the tail apart, but he just couldn't. His muscles grew sore by the pressure. His bones were practically being crushed. And just as he was thinking, "What should I do?" Vali finished his Gayatri and started flying. He flew off and Ravan was hanging under his tail. Can you imagine, you know, like the tires of a plane underneath? Ravan was hanging in the coil tail, Dashanana, this powerful personality, hanging in the tail. And as he was flying, the birds and some of the celestials were watching and saying, "Hey, shame, shame. Look, shame at you." The birds are saying, "Hey, what's going on with you?" And some of the celestials were laughing at him and mocking. And Ravan was feeling so absolutely ashamed of himself that he couldn't even keep his eyes open. He was so embarrassed. He just closed his eyes tight shut. And in his mind, these thoughts were reeling. After such a successful party, why this embarrassment? And as he was just thinking, Vali landed on the shores of the Southern Ocean. He had just finished his Gayatri on the shores of the Southern Ocean. He landed on the shores of the Northern Ocean. And there he sat and chanted his Gayatri. As he opened his eye and was about to take off, Ravan said, "My dear brother, please, look, if you don't want to release me, it's fine. But don't keep me in these coils of your tail. It's so insulting to a king like me. You hold me in whatever way you want, but not like this." So Ravan said, "No problem." Vali said, "No problem." He released him from his tails and put him in under his armpit. Ravan's face under his armpit. And flew now to the Western Ocean. Chanted his Gayatri while he was still under his armpit. Then flew to the Eastern Ocean. Chanted his Gayatri. And then when he landed, Ravan realized, "Oh, this is too much.
Oh, I can't handle this. And then when he put him down like this, he said, oh, I got a good time with you. Ask what you want. Ravan didn't have the guts to say, I want to fight with you. He said, all I want from you is just become my friend. What a friendship, isn't it? What a wonderful relationship. Where it's not love that's the center. Where it's superiority, power, control, display of abilities that is the center. What a friendship. And what a relationship. You know? And immediately he said, okay, let's seal the pact now. They lit up a fire, sacrifice for the yajna. And they cut each other, they cut their individual palms. That's how Kshatriyas would do things. Cut their palms. And both of them dropped some drops of blood into the fire sacrifice and said, from today on, the pact is sealed. We are eternal friends. And the condition is, whatever is mine is yours, and whatever is yours is mine. Your kingdom is my kingdom is your kingdom. Your wealth is my wealth is your wealth. Your wife is my wife is your wife. This is a shloka in the Valmiki Ramayana. This is a verse in the Valmiki Ramayana. I'm not making it up. Putram, Daram, Griham, everything is ours. This is the friendship pact of the demons. You know, where promiscuity is also promoted. Your wife is my wife is our wife. When I want yours, send her. When you want mine, take her. Hare Krishna. You know, such kind of a relationship where coercive power is used, where superiority, control is used, forced surrender is brought out. No one surrenders out of love. No one surrenders out of commitment. No one surrenders willingly. When dominance is shown and power is shown, you don't have a choice but to surrender. Because if you don't surrender, you don't exist. If you don't surrender, you're thrown out. Thrown out of here if you don't do this. Hare Krishna. Such kind of a relationship, friendship, is it of any value? Will it ever give any satisfaction to the soul, the heart? Will it bring any satisfaction to the Lord at all? Will it bring any joy in life at all? No way. But coercive power is shown so many times. Even in married relationships, coercive power is shown so many times. Dominance is shown so many times. How can a married relationship, how can a grihastha relationship be meaningful when any of the spouses or both of the spouses use coercive power? Use dominance and control. And service attitude is not the center. You know, one man was sitting in his office and a guy came and said, sir, you are like a roaring lion in our office. Are you also a roaring lion at home? He said, yeah, yeah, I am a roaring lion at home, but there Durga Devi sits on top with a trishul in her hand. Hare Krishna. Coercive power. Sometimes children will use power. Husbands use power against wives. Wives use power against husbands. Sometimes children control parents. Nowadays, you know, it's such a thing. Children may control parents. Nowadays, the only one thing that is most wanted, the three greatest fears of this generation, the three greatest fears of the previous generation was public speaking. Public speaking, the fear of death, and the fear of flying. Probably because of the fear of flying, they would call an airport a terminal. You know, fear of flying. But now the three greatest fears of the modern day generation are, is my battery full? Is my smartphone battery full or not? Do I have free Wi-Fi? And do I have proper network coverage wherever I go? Three greatest fears of the generation. So if you go to someone's home now, the host doesn't say, when the host says, would you like some water please? The guest says, no, Wi-Fi password. Modern day fear, modern day. But therefore sometimes parents, you know, use coercive power. You know, when I was a child, my mom and my dad would say, look, if you don't finish this, if you don't eat this, if you don't study, I'll take away your play time, okay? Come go to play then. Okay, we have to eat, we have to study now. Nowadays, that's not what the parents do. The parents say, if you do not finish the veggies on your plate, I will change the Wi-Fi password, okay? And the children say, change it. Doesn't matter. I know how to hack it. Children further smart. Hare Krishna. Coercive power doesn't work. Therefore, I remembered a nice quote by Charlie Spencer Chaplin. He said a very interesting thing once. He said, you only need power
when you want to do something that is harmful. Otherwise, love is enough to get something meaningful done. You only need power when you want to do something harmful. If love is enough, if you want to do something meaningful. Srila Prabhupada, what an example. Didn't use coercive power. He used service attitude. He used affection. He used love to draw out the commitment of his devotees, to draw out the commitments of his disciples. He spent time with them. He cooked for them. He washed the pots. I went to New York. I went to the Bowery just a month back. And believe me, I had only heard about it. I had only read it in the Leelamrita. I had heard Prabhupada disciples talk about it. You will never know what it is unless you go there. You will never know. Even downtown Manhattan today. Certain areas of Manhattan are just, Bowery is still what it is. It stinks of urine even today. It stinks. You still find people lying there. The homeless, just completely drugged or drunk. And here's Srila Prabhupada walking in and out of this place. I went to the 26th Second Avenue. What a humble dwelling. What a humble little place for a world acharya. And he lived with those devotees. Brought out their commitment, never out of exerting that I am the guru. I am the founder acharya. I am the one who brought you to Krishna consciousness. I am the one who established this society. I am the one who wrote these books. I am the one who is managing this society. Never exerted coercive power. His relationship was based on affection. His relationship was based on thinking, I am like one of you. At the Los Angeles airport once, all the devotees were sitting and Prabhupada was there. Everyone was sitting there. And it was becoming a hurdle because passengers couldn't pass through. So one of the temple presidents got up and said, all the devotees to the side, please. And Srila Prabhupada moved to the side as well. And then the temple president said, not you, Srila Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada turned to him and said, I am not a devotee. You said all the devotees to the side, I am not a devotee. And here's the founder acharya who thought he is a devotee, just like everyone else. And in a GBC meeting, the GBC chairman at that time said, all the GBC members kindly vote for this proposal. And Prabhupada raised his hand. And he said, I am also a member. It's quite amazing that a personality like this, the founder acharya of a society, thought that he was a member. Just one amongst everyone else. And when that one amongst everyone else is there, that is when commitment comes out. When someone just sits up there and just orders and just uses coercive power and dominance, doesn't work. He spent time with his devotees. They were on the shores of the Pacific Ocean and the devotees were all sitting with them, with Srila Prabhupada in the early days, and Prabhupada looked at them and said, look at this ocean, so deep, so profound, nothing to gain, nothing to lose, therefore the ocean can be so calm. And then it was turning into evening, sunset. Prabhupada started chanting. All the devotees were chanting in Kirtan. There was a bonfire made and there were potatoes put there for roasting. After the Kirtan, they would have this baked potatoes from the wooden fire. And after the whole Kirtan was over, Srila Prabhupada turned to the Pacific Ocean and said, all glories to the Pacific Ocean. Devotees said, Hare Krishna. All glories to the Pacific Ocean. Devotees said, Hare Krishna. And then said, all glories to the Pacific Ocean. And devotees said, Hare Krishna. And after that, everyone sat there and there was a branch of a tree and Prabhupada sat there informally amongst all of his American boys and girls, sons and daughters. He just sat there informally with his leg raised like that and they brought potatoes with a chunk of butter on top of it and Prabhupada, like everyone else, ate this baked potato with them. And then Srila Prabhupada said, and all glories to the makers of Krishna Prasadam. Hare Krishna. All glories to the makers of Krishna Prasadam. And these little intimate exchanges of being one amongst everyone else endeared Srila Prabhupada so much to the devotees that commitment just came naturally. There was no need to show superiority. There was no need to show any dominance. There was no need to show any control. And when there was a necessity, he would even correct the devotees. He would even use his superiority, but it was only with an attitude to serve. So every devotee in the heart knew he loves us so much that even this correction is only service. One time Shutakirti Prabhu was telling a story that Shutakirti Prabhu was sitting in a class and Prabhupada was sitting up there and Shutakirti Prabhu fell asleep. Everyone was quite awake and Shutakirti Prabhu fell asleep and Prabhupada removed his sock, one of his sock, rolled it and threw at Shutakirti Prabhu. Threw it at Shutakirti Prabhu and Shutakirti Prabhu got up immediately, becoming attentive in the class. And even today, that correction is remembered as love. Imagine one of the Bhagavatam class speakers sitting here on the Vyasasana. If someone sleeping pulls out a sock, Krishna, how would that feel? Thus, in any decision we make in our lives, these five words should be our guiding principle. Whether to speak up or not to speak up, whether to correct or not to correct, whether to do this or not to do this, whether to be a brahmachari or to be a grihastha, whether to work outside or to work in the temple. These five words are the guiding principle. How can I best serve? The simple one line that decides what we should be doing is, how can I best serve? Hari Bol. How can I best serve? Oh, he's so amused. Isn't it? How can I best serve? And thus, the disciples of Srila Prabhupada in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam in a purport, they write one line, which is a very powerful line. They say, control is seen as control only when there is no love. Where there is love, control is never seen as control. It's just seen as a very mild plea to correct ourselves. But where there is lack of love, control and superiority is seen as control and superiority. So here we find one of the relationships in the Ramayana, Vali and Ravana, where power, superiority was the motive. Display of one's abilities was what bond made that friendship. And the surrender of Ravana was not willingly out of friendship because coercive power was shown. The second case study in Valmiki Ramayana is the friendship between Sugriva and Lord Ramchandra. The friendship between Sugriva and Lord Ramchandra happened again in Kishkindha Kshetra. When Lord Ram had come to Kishkindha, Hanumanji had taken Lord Ram and Lakshman to meet Sugriva and had introduced Lord Ram and Lakshman to the Monkey King, not the Monkey King yet, Sugriva. And when everything was spoken, Lord Ram revealed the story of how Sita was kidnapped by Ravana as revealed by Jatayu. Sugriva immediately brought up all the ornaments. Are these the ornaments of your wife? When Lakshman saw these, all Lakshman could recognize was the anklets, because he had never seen anything but the lotus feet of Mother Sita. And then Sugriva told his own story of how Vali had kidnapped his wife Ruma. So it seemed that there was a need now. The earlier friendship was where power was shown. In this friendship, now need was shown. It was all about a need. I need you, Ram. Not because I want to love you. I need you, Ram. Not because I want to serve you. I need you, Ram, because I want my wife to be freed from the clutches of Vali and I want the throne of Kishkindha. Many times, relationships are driven by need. Personal, selfish needs. It's not about service. It's about what I want. And therefore, till the time you scratch my back, I scratch your back. As soon as you stop scratching my back, I stop scratching your back, because the whole relationship was based on the need of being scratched. As till the time the need of being scratched is fulfilled, I do it. As soon as the need of being scratched is not fulfilled now, goodbye, sir. Goodbye. Yes, we all want to be, you know, the best hello for someone and the saddest goodbye for someone. But not too sure if we can. When this is what the relationship is based on. Just personal needs, you know. And thus, we see so many times, at the end of the day, what's motivating people to connect is what I want, not what you want. And as soon as relationships are based on this, what I want, my needs,
As soon as those needs are not met with, we are disturbed. Disturbance comes because of expectations that my needs be fulfilled. Why are we disturbed constantly? This devotee didn't respect me. Who am I anyways? But I was expecting that this devotee acknowledges. I was expecting that this devotee respects. I remember one time in a particular ceremony in the temple in Chopati, we had acknowledged everyone and we had forgotten to acknowledge one gentleman. He was so disturbed. I mean, let's handle it. You're not pure devotees. Some of you are. I am not a pure devotee. Maybe all of you are. I'm definitely not a pure devotee. And let me handle it for myself. I still feel that need for appreciation and acknowledgement. Not because I want to feel egoistic, but I want to feel encouraged to do more service. Acknowledgement and appreciation only encourages the other people to do more service. A person who is appreciated will always do more than expected. A person who feels appreciated will always do more than expected. He doesn't have to be told, or she doesn't have to be told. Prabhupada did that, appreciated his devotees in such a way that that need was fulfilled. It's a human need. And because it's a human need, our devotional practices are still based on our human platform. When that need is fulfilled, we do a lot more than we could have otherwise done. But we find here, Sugriva, his need. He said, oh, your wife is kidnapped, my wife is kidnapped, both wives are kidnapped. Great. We can make a great friendship. You help me kill Vali and get my wife back, and I'll help you to get your wife Sita back. You don't even know where she is. I will find out where she is. I'll send the entire contingent of my monkey soldiers to identify and research where Sita is. And there was a yagya again. This time, like Vali and Ravana, here now again a yagya between Sugriva and Ram, with this pact that we will help each other, isn't it? Did Lord Ram need Sugriva's help? No. Did Lord Ram need the monkeys and soldiers' help to build the bridge? No. He had sat on the ocean, and when the ocean did not give way to go to Lanka, he was in wrath. He had glanced upon the ocean and Varuna Dev had come out. And Varuna Dev said, I can part. It was not just the parting of the Red Sea just recently. The parting of the ocean was even from the Trita Yuga. Said, I shall part and give you way to go to Sri Lanka. But if I give you that way, you know, it's not all that great. You'll be glorified. Let all the monkey soldiers also get the opportunity to serve you. He didn't need that help. But he made that friendship to serve Sugriva, to help Sugriva. The friendship was sealed. And of course, later, as we have heard on the Ram Navami day, Sugriva very conveniently forgot. Conveniently forgot in the indulgences of the royal pleasures that his duty to find Mother Sita was still existent. And Lakshmana had to remind him that you have to now have a search party exploring where Mother Sita was. In the Gita, Lord Krishna explained the four kinds of people who come to him, the distressed, people who are in need of wealth, people who are curious, and people who seek knowledge. We come to Krishna in time of need. Our relationship is in time of need. Our connection is also need-based. So hope-based. Krishna becomes a doctor. Krishna becomes a drug. A drug to relieve us of our pain. The spiritual master sometimes can become a drug to simply relieve us of our pains that we go through. So we come because of need. I'm going through this hell. I'm going through this mess. I'm going through this trouble. Krishna, sort me out. Gurudev, I'm going through this trouble. Please sort me out. Service should be what drives a relationship, not just a need. You know, Srila Prabhupada did not need anyone. The empowered Acharya. Srila Prabhupada didn't need any of us. Prabhupada was kind to give us all an opportunity to assist him and serve him, like Lord Ram gave the monkeys an opportunity to build the bridge. And therefore Srila Prabhupada would say, here are my dancing white elephants. He would come to India and say, here are my dancing white elephants. And he brought them all to bring Krishna consciousness to India. You know, Prabhupada did not need anything. One time Prabhupada was giving a talk and all the devotees were sitting and listening. And Prabhupada had his eyes closed and he said, so the whole Krishna consciousness movement
is simply going on by the mercy of Lord Shri Krishna. And then he opened his eyes and saw, and everyone was sleeping. And Prabhupada said, and that is a fact, that Krishna consciousness movement is going on by the mercy of Krishna. Doesn't seem that with sleeping souls like this, the Krishna consciousness movement can go on. And thus, in our relationships, if we simply have a need-based relationship, it has troubles. First relationship, Vali Ravan, was based on power. Second relationship, Sugriv Ram, was based on needs. And when the need was fulfilled, Sugriv had conveniently forgotten. Similarly, when our needs are fulfilled, we conveniently forget our responsibilities towards others, unless we are reminded by the Guru and the senior Vaishnavas. The third case study in Valmiki Ramayana is the friendship between the two sages, Vishwamitra Muni and Vasishtha Muni. Vishwamitra Muni, such a great king. He was a king, a Rajarishi. And then he came to the hermitage of Vasishtha Muni along with so many other of his soldiers, about 60,000 plus of his soldiers. And they just arrived unannounced into Vasishtha Muni's ashram. And within less than a second, Vasishtha Muni had all the most luxurious, delicious items of food presented to them. He had dancers and singers and bards all over the place singing praises and music and dance. And Vishwamitra Muni is thinking, I am a Kshatriya, I am a Rajarishi, I am a ruler, I have a king, and I can't feed 1,000 people like this in a split second. And this guy is a humble sage. How did he do this? He found out. Vasishtha Muni had a cow, the Kamadhenu cow. And the Kamadhenu cow would give away all of these things in a split second, no matter how many people. Draupadi had the Akshaya Patra. She could feed as many people till the time she had eaten. And these mystical powers were there. So he had this cow, Kamadhenu cow. As soon as he saw this Kamadhenu cow, he felt insecure. Insecurity is a symptom of a conditioned soul who wants to fan his false ego or her false ego. Insecurity is a symptom of a person who simply wants to fan his or her false ego by grabbing and getting and snatching away what doesn't righteously belong to us. He saw this Kamadhenu cow and he felt insecure. Man, I don't have it. You know, even I feel sometimes this kind of an insecurity. Krishna, I don't have that service. Look at that service of this other devotee. Everyone's adoring it. Everyone's respecting it. Everyone's giving all kinds of facility to this person. Everyone's really kind of admiring this person. And I'm this little person sitting in a corner. No one even knows me. To say nothing of acknowledging or appreciating or adoring or admiring. No one even knows me. I think I have to do something to grab that service. Because if I grab that service, that's some security. Because then people will know me. Because then people can at least admire me. Or adore me. Comparison. He saw Vasishtha Muni's Kamadhenu cow and thought, I want this Kamadhenu cow. Immediately, he went there, snatched her away. Snatched her away. Competition. This relationship was based on competition. The first one was based on coercive power and control. The second one was based on personal need to be fulfilled. And the third one was based on competition. I want it because if I have it, I'll feel secure. I'll be the best. He went and snatched the Kamadhenu away. As the Kamadhenu was being dragged away, she was moving for the help of Vasishtha Muni. Of course, she didn't need Vasishtha Muni to help. She was herself so mystical, but still she wanted her master to come and save. But when the Vasishtha Muni was helpless, from her body started coming soldiers who defeated Vishwamitra Muni and 60,000 of his soldiers like this. And that made his ego completely crushed to pieces. He said, at any cost, this guy Vasishtha is a Brahmarishi and that's why he has this cow. I can't grab this cow as a Rajarishi. I have to become a Brahmarishi. I have to become a preacher. How can I become a toilet cleaner? If I'm just a toilet cleaner, who's going to look at me? If I'm just a humble pujari just offering an aarti, who's going to look at me? If I'm just this mridanga player playing this beat and this guy who's singing gets all the credit. And I'm just beating away all my stamina. Dum, 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 dum. And everyone says, Prabhuji, how beautifully you sang. No one says how beautifully you played. Hare Krishna. I'll tell you. He just felt, I have to be a Brahmarshi. Otherwise I can't show this guy that I'm better than him. The world will know that, not know that I'm better than him. He started performing austerity 60,000 years. But when an austerity is driven by a selfish, competitive motive, certainly, most definitely, the material energy will overwhelm us. Most definitely. All our scriptures are replete with examples for this, and contemporary histories of our movements and other Vaishnava movements are replete with examples of this. Austerities are meant to please and serve Krishna. But if the purpose of our austerity is to show and compete, most definitely, those austerities are going to pull us, drag us down. So one time it was lust, Rambha, another time it was anger, Menaka. Oh, how many lakhs and lakhs of millions of years passed by? And still this guy was not made. And then finally Brahmaji came after so many others. Okay man, what do you want? You tell me, what you want? 60,000 years gone, another 60,000 years gone, you're still continuing, hell bent. What do you want? I want to be a Brahmarshi. Okay son, you're a Brahmarshi. No sir, I don't want to hear that other Brahmarshi from your mouth. He should come and tell me. Vashishtha should say I am a Brahmarshi. What difference it makes if you say a Brahmarshi? Vashishtha has to say I am a Brahmarshi. Got it? He said, well, how do I convince him? You go convince him. And then Vishwamitra Muni, Brahmaji asked Vashishtha, please. This guy is creating chaos. Just say, you know, just say to this guy Vishwamitra, he is a Brahmarshi. So Vishwamitra was brought by Lord Brahma in front of Vashishtha Muni. And Vashishtha Muni, he never was wanting to get into any of these things. He was just forcibly dragged into this whole thing. He was a humble sage. And then Vashishtha Muni said to Vishwamitra, okay, my dear friend, you are a Brahmarishi. And suddenly, after all of this endeavor, and after all of this Herculean effort, it dawned on Vishwamitra that in order to be a Brahmarishi like him, you need humility. After so many ages of doing all of this, he concluded, he's a Brahmarishi because he's humble. Look, he's not even agitated by all what is done. And realizing this, he fell at the feet of Vashishtha finally and said, I'm so sorry for all what I did. And now he was a Brahmarishi. And this competitive fight had frozen into a friendship finally. And all the fight was gone when Vashishtha and Vishwamitra had come to take Lord Ram away. And Vashishtha had convinced Dasharath, you must send him. There is a mission. Your emotions fine, but there's a mission. In service to Lord Ram, we should patch up. It may be rivalry of ages. It may be rivalry of ages. Competitive rivalry. Vishwamitra and Vashishtha. But for a higher service, we have to patch up. That's Vaishnavism. And our literatures constantly reveal to us these incredible principles of Vaishnava philosophy. You know, and thus, Srila Prabhupada also, he encouraged competition, but transcendental competition, not rivalry, to show each other down. And therefore, even during the Radha Damodar Sankirtan party, when things were kind of going on, and there was complaints by the president that they're taking our men away, just saw book distribution, this and that, and Prabhupada said, no, this should be stopped immediately. And Prabhupada sent His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj to China. So that competition, transcendental competition, doesn't get the flavor of material competition. You know, I remember when I was doing the Bhakti Shastri exams, I am a very unlucky person. My stars have been very bad. If you're talking from the point of view of astrology, my stars are very bad. I never see success in my life. I don't see success in my life. You know, every time I stood first through almost every semester of my university, and in the last semester I would stand second, just for a mark, a half a mark, every time. I missed a gold medal by 4 marks in my final year university. Just because of 4 marks. You know, it's just always be like that. And I came to Hare Krishna and I thought, at least here I'll stand first now, right? And we had the Bhakti Shastri exam. And I wrote the Bhakti Shastri exam. You know what I passed? distinctions with high honors. I got 98% marks on 100%. And in those 98%, I still didn't stand first. There was another devotee who stood first. He got half a mark extra. Half a mark extra. Half! Do you understand what half means? I lost my first rank because of half a mark. And I went to the guy who was examining the question papers and I said, wait, I want to see my answer papers. So I checked everywhere I had full marks. And where you write the verses, you have in Bhakti Shastri to write the verses, Sanskrit verses. He had cut half of my mark. You know why? Because I hadn't put one diacritic mark on the A. For I had not put made a, one diacritic mark was missing. He took my half mark away and my first rank away. I was wild, angry, very upset. Even here a second, university second. Now here a second again. Just because of this crazy guy who took a mark, who takes marks away, half a mark away for diacritic? Do you even know what diacritics are? Sorry. I'm sorry, I'm sure you do. You can imagine, you know. I was so upset with this whole thing. And then finally I calmed myself down and thought, did I come here to compete and stand first? Or did I come here to sing, Chaitanya Radasamui, Chaitanya Radas, Chaitanya Radasamui, Taradase Radas. Did I come here to be a boss or a das? Did I come here to be a first or the last? I didn't come here to be first. And it took me so much effort to convince myself. This is not meant to be my mood. Not, it didn't come from my heart, but at least intellectually I convinced myself. This is not how it's meant to be. You know. Therefore, competition is only meant to serve better. In Vrindavan, when all the cowherd boys go to catch Krishna, Yadi duram gatha Krishna vana shobha ikshanayapi aham purvam aham purvam iti samprishyare mire. They go to touch Krishna and everyone says, I'll catch him first. I'll catch him first. Let's see who will go and catch him first. Competition in Vrindavan. But the competition is meant to encourage. I'll run and catch him first. As I'm running, the other person should feel inspired to go run faster than me and do it. We will do the best book distribution in our community and in our temple, and we want to be the last in our scores. Because that means many more will do better than us. We'll encourage and inspire others to do more service. And thus we find, at the end of the day, this kind of a competitive mentality in relationships spoils our relationships. And last but not the least, I was still told to go till 9:15, so I'm just taking that privilege and concluding the last part of our class for this morning. The last part, the last case study that I would like to discuss from the Valmiki Ramayana is the friendship of Lord Ramachandra. How Lord Ram was a friend. Here, Ravan wanted to befriend Ravana. Sugriva wanted to befriend Ram. Vishwamitra wanted to befriend Vasishtha. But when we talk about Lord Ram's friendships with the different personalities, Lord Ram, such a lovable person. All he wanted to do was just offer services. Just serve the object of his relationship. If it was a father, Dasharath, service. I'll do it. Yes, sir. I will leave for the 14 years. If it's a mother, Kausalya, yes, sir. If it's a friend, yes. How can I serve? Servitude was the foundational principle of Lord Ram's dealings in each of his relationships. And each of Lord Ram's dealings, his devotees' dealings with him. The Lord wanted to serve and the devotees wanted to serve. When service is the principle from both sides, that relationship becomes extremely meaningful. Therefore, the Sri Vaishnava Acharyas have said, one of the most prominent quality of Lord Ram is the quality of Saushilya. Saushilya means someone who is so great, so big, is willing to come down and befriend someone who is so small, so low, so much rejected in the world outside. And that was Srila Prabhupada. Having the exact same quality of Lord Ramachandra. Saushilya. A personality who is an Uttam Adhikari. Coming down to the level of someone who is like Krishna. Goes to the Morning Star Ranch and sees all naked people sitting in front of him.
Every man and woman sitting in the lectures naked. He's coming from the holy dham of Sri Vrindavan. Here he enters the Bowery and people are drugged out. Some people were passing in their pants. No jokes. I was told a story by one devotee in Germany. Passing in their pants and not even taking a shower. And when this person came to Srila Prabhupada in Germany, all the devotees were throwing him out. Prabhupada, don't take, he stinks, he's not taking a shower, he's passing in his pants. And Prabhupada hugged him, put him on his chest and cuddled his head. And this man changed. His heart transformed. He became a devotee. Affability, Saushilya, coming down to connect to all. Lord Ram making a friendship with a tribal king. Who's a tribal king? King of a tribe, Guha. During his exile, is on the way to Chitrakoot, he's making friendship with Guha. He's making friendship with whom? A monkey king, Sugriva. What's a monkey king? How many of us make friendship with monkeys? Any of you take a monkey for a party? Meet my friend, Mr. Monkey. And this is Mrs. Monkini. Do we ever say that? Whom is he making connections with? Jatayu, a vulture. Whom is he befriending? Asuras. The one coming from the Asura clan, Vibhishana. Saushilya. Someone who's willing to walk and be one amongst everyone else and bring them to his bosom and hug them and drown them in the nectar of his love. That is friendship. To serve, to love, to give, to share, to care. Not just power, not just competition there, not just my need or your need there, but service. Guha, when Lord Ram met him, he was so delighted that I am accepted as a friend by Lord Ramchandra. Lord Ram said, I came to the forest. You know why I came to the forest? I came to the forest to search for my fifth brother. And I found him today, Guha. And Guha felt so touched. That here I am a tribal man. And he's calling me a brother. You can imagine all the American boys and girls and the British boys and girls. When Prabhupada called them, these are my daughters and sons. How they must have felt accepted as daughters and sons. So touched. That all they could do is just surrender their lives. Lord Ram, Guha, you know, when he came, Guha washed his feet, Ram's feet, and was drinking the Charanamrita and was looking at Mother Sita. Not for you. And Sita was very greedily looking, save some for me. He would drink, not for you. He would very teasingly look at Mother Sita. Just do this and drink. And he drank the whole thing, gave nothing to Mother Sita. Because when Mahavishnu was lying on Anantashesh, and Mahalakshmi was massaging the feet. One day a tortoise in the milk ocean had just come along and seen the lotus feet of Lord Mahavishnu and said, oh, such a beautiful lotus. Thinking it's a beautiful lotus, this tortoise swam in the milk ocean to lick the lotus feet of Lord Mahavishnu. And Mahalakshmi said, what a horrible tortoise is licking the lotus feet of my husband who's the supreme personality. He shooed and drove the tortoise away. And the tortoise said, one day, I'll take all the nectar of his feet and I'll not give you a single drop. That tortoise came as Guha. And when he washed the lotus feet of Lord Ram, he's drinking that Charanamrita and looking at Sita. Not for you. Not for you. Such a sweet pastime. You know. Dealings of rasa. And thus we find, whether it's Hanuman or squirrel, Lord Ram, even in the Dasya, treats them equally. Whether it's friends like Guha, Vibhishan or Sugriva, it's service to Lord Ram and service from Lord Ram. Whether it's Vatsalya, Vishwamitra Muni, now playing the role of a guru, Lord Ram wants to serve him and he wants to serve Lord Ram. Vishwamitra Muni, I told you the story, such a seasoned guy. 60,000 years of austerity, then 60,000, then austerity, Brahmarshi, competition, fighting. That's what he was. And for the first time when he took Ram and Lakshman away to fight the demons, Ram and Lakshman were tender. Tender young lads. That's why Dasharatha didn't even want to send them. Will my sons even be able to pick the bow up and fight? Vishwamitra, take me.
Take me, not these tender creepers from the palace of Ayodhya.
And then Vasishtha convinced him. The first night, Vishwamitra took them away, and that night, first night on their journey, he had Ram one side and Lakshman one side sleeping on the grasses on the ground, and Vishwamitra Muni lay between the two of them. The princes, the regal princes of Ayodhya, were now lying on the ground, the grasses of the ground, only for one reason: to serve. To serve the sages who were being disturbed by the demons. As they both laid there in the morning, both these princes, cuddled by their mothers, always sleeping in royal luxury, this particular morning they were still sleeping, and Vishwamitra Muni got up. And then Vishwamitra Muni turned towards Ram and Lakshman. His vatsalya, his paternal affection came out of his heart, and he chanted a verse, which is the first verse chanted to wake Tirupati Balaji up every morning, even till today. Kausalya supraja rama purva sandhya pravartate uttishta narashardula trailokyam daivamanhikam. You know, he's saying, Kausalya supraja rama. Oh, the womb of Kausalya is so glorified that it has given birth to Lord Rama. And she's so fortunate to have Ram and Lakshman as her children, and she can spend time with him and make them sleep and wake them up. He's thought, for the first time he thought, what a foolish mistake. What a stupid mistake I made, that I wanted to be a Brahmarishi. I should have wanted to be like Kausalya, wanting Ram to be my child and just wanting Ram like this on my side every day. A hard-hearted Rajarshi who had Kshatriya, who had turned to be a humble Brahmarshi, suddenly got motherly feelings in the heart by seeing Ram sleeping there. That was the beauty of Lord Ram. And then he said, wake up, Uttishtha Narashardula, O tiger amongst men, wake up, the sun is up. Kartavyam Daivimanikam, now our kartavyas, our duties of fighting await us. Let us go. And whether it's Madhurya, Sita Devi, the only one thing is seva, seva, seva. Hanuman to Ram seva, Ram to Hanuman seva. The squirrel to Ram seva, Ram to squirrel seva. Sugriva to Ram seva, Ram to Sugriva seva. Vishwamitra to Ram seva, Ram to Vishwamitra seva. Sita to Ram seva, Ram to Sita seva. What do we find in all the literatures? Service, 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 service and service. Nothing else but devotional service, isn't it? And therefore we find Sita Devi as well, wanting to serve Lord Ram. She wanted to go to the forest along with Ram when they were exiled. But Ram wouldn't be willing to take her. He was not ready to take her. And for the first time, Ram, she gave it back to him. She gave it. She said, my father was not intelligent actually. My father, Janak, not such an intelligent man, because if he was an intelligent man, he wouldn't marry me to a guy who is nothing less than a woman. She called Ram, you're less than a woman. Because you don't want to protect me, you don't have the capacity, you're scared of protecting me in the forest, therefore you don't want to take me. Ram said, pack your bags. Come on, pack your bags. All this chastisement to Ram was meant for what? To serve. And then she says, I shall walk in front of you and uproot all the thorns, Lord Ram, so that you can walk peacefully in front of them. I can't stand that your feet are pricked with thorns. And what she meant was, the greatest thorn in your mission is Ravan, my dear Lord. That was the implied meaning. I will be kidnapped, and because of me, this thorn will be plucked out, and your mission of walking in this world will be successful. Sita Devi, wanting to simply serve Lord Ramachandra. And therefore, at the end of the day, there's nothing more valuable in a relationship and in life than the principle of service to the Lord and service to the devotees of the Lord. Therefore, if you see the word das, the opposite of the word das, if you change the letters, is sad. If we are not das, all we'll be in our life is sad. If we accept the role of a das, we'll be. We had a brahmachari whose name was Shankarananda Das. We also have another devotee whose name is Shadbhujananda Das. So all of their initials are SAD. So on their shoes, their clothes, they write SAD. SAD, SAD. You know, they mark their shoe, clothes and all the shoes. They say SAD. I said, why are you going to be sad? Be a das, you will never be sad. You know, and therefore,
Das is the most important part of our life. To conclude, Srila Prabhupada initiated one boy. His name was Hans Carey. And Hans Carey was praying that I don't get in my name the same name that I have. And Prabhupada initiated him and said, so your name will be Hamsaduta Das Adhikari. And he was so sad because in both Hans and Carey came there. In Hamsaduta there's Hansaduta. And in Adhikari there is Carey. So he didn't want Hans Carey anywhere in his initiated name. And he got Hans Carey in Hansaduta Das Adhikari. And then on one occasion he asked Prabhupada, what is the meaning of my name Hamsaduta? Prabhupada ignored. Again later he asked Prabhupada, what is the meaning of my name Hamsaduta? Prabhupada ignored. The third time when he asked, Prabhupada said, don't worry about the meaning of Hamsaduta. The most important part of your name is the Das part. Whatever else the name may be, don't forget the Das. That's most important. And then Srila Prabhupada of course went on to explain what Hamsaduta meant and told him what the meaning of his name was. Therefore conclusively from these four case studies we see how either power can be showed in a relationship and surrender is only half-hearted, forced surrender. Need can be shown in a relationship and surrender is only selfish, need-based. Competition can be shown in a relationship and it's only disgust that comes out of the heart in relationships like that. And service can be shown in a relationship. And all that comes out of the relationship is love, affection, dedication, surrender and commitment. And that was Srila Prabhupada who brought it out from all the devotees and still brings it out of the hearts of so many who take shelter of the Bhaktivedanta purports, his books, read his words, he's present in his words. And through those words, yes, our relationship with our master, our glorious master, always remains eternally. And thus Advaita Acharya sang, Chaitanya Radas Mui, Chaitanya Radas, Chaitanya Radas Ta Mui Taradase Radas. At the end of the day, he was ecstatic when he was beaten and he told Kamalakant Vishwas, you should even be more ecstatic that you were accepted as such an intimate servant that you were not allowed in his company. I was allowed. All I was given was beating. I wasn't rejected. If I was rejected, I would know that Lord Chaitanya has accepted me even in a more intimate way than just beating. Wish to thank all of you for your kind attention. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Hare Hare.